Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. And today's guest is Ronan O'Reilly.
Hello there.
Can I call you Ronan or Mr. O'Reilly?
I don't mind.
Should we just call you my real name if you want? We could call you James Tregaskis, couldn't we?
Could do. Didn't last long, did it?
No. The subterfuge has vanished. So what have you got for us today, James?
Well, I'm just thinking, what's the point in anything, really? I mean, we go through our lives and really, honestly, own up, everyone. What is the point in life? I mean, okay, we try and be nice to each other and everything, but there has to be more than just... I mean, why are we sitting in the studio? Why are we doing this?
I don't know.
Do you
have any reasons? Why?
No.
What brought you here today?
Well, you feel itchy, don't you? Sometimes you feel itchy. If you're not watching the football or other things or being drunk, you'll sort of tend to feel itchy. Do you feel itchy, sort of uneasy about things? And
I suppose so, as time passes. I mean, it could be sheer egotism, couldn't it? Sort of wanting to stand up in public and sort of say, here I am, or something.
No, forget the egotism. I'm trying to be honest, and I'm trying to think about where we are in a life, in the middle of a life, or towards the end of a life, or beginning. Just be honest. One does tend to feel uneasy time to time. And you pick up a book and you get interested in something someone's got to say. And one of the people that I've been interested in over the last few years, more in the last year really, is Gurdjieff. And here we have a lot of people switching off the radio or PC or whatever. But he was an interesting guy. In fact, he had a pupil called P.D. Uspensky who wrote a lot of his teachings down. And Uspensky wrote a book called In Search of the Miraculous. And I was Googling that the other day. I saw John Zorn has released an album this year called In Search of the Miraculous. Mm. And I believe you came across John Zorn Connection.
Well, that's
last
right.
Week.
It's extraordinary. You mentioned John Zorn about 10 minutes ago because I was in Paris from Sunday till Tuesday. And in fact, there was an exhibition at the Jewish Museum in Paris on the Rue du Temple, I think it's called. Sort of somewhere out the back of the Pompidou Centre. And it's basically the exhibition. There's an exhibition in the Jewish Museum about radical Jewish culture of the 90s, sort of starting from about 1990. Maybe it's 1980 to 1990, a sort of 10-year period. And it sort of centres around this... John Zorn has his own label called Zadik, and he issues sort of new Jewish music. And it's a fascinating exhibition. So what's your connection with John Zorn? How does that link up with Gurdjieff, or doesn't it?
Well, insofar that I'm interested in finding out more why Zorn used that title for his...
In Search of the Miraculous.
For his album, yeah. Maybe that's just a coincidence. Anyway, I think that the connection there is words don't really do it. The music does. Mm. Just listening to this, rather nice actually. So, you know, it's magical ceremonies, or I know there's a lot of people don't believe in anything, any god, anything. I don't have to believe in a god, that to understand that music can communicate a lot better than words. So what I wanted to do was to get to In Search of the Miraculous on chapter 9. I can't really play the keyboard, but I'm going to do my best, because in chapter 9, Gurdjieff talked to his pupils about music and its connection with the elements and hydrogen, and how hydrogen... It's very confusing because he talks about everything being made of hydrogen. In fact, I think we probably know that it's not, but I think it's probably a way of actually... saying everything's mathematical and everything's built up on...
Why would he insist that things are made of hydrogen if he knows they're not?
It's a very, very tricky one. That I think you have to sort of suspend disbelief a little bit and let it go.
So it requires a leap of faith, then?
That is partly my lack of understanding of this. Because it's very complicated. If you look at the tables in this chapter, you can't put, you just boggle at it. In fact, Uspensky himself admits that he took several years before he got any insight into this thing at all. He just sort of wrote it all down and tried to understand it. But anyway, I'm going to, until you sort of get tired, I'm going to try and read some of this out. And I'm going to use a keyboard to help understand from trying to play the right... the notes in the text.
So is this Gurdjieff's theory of music or something?
Uspensky writing down Gurdjieff's teachings towards the end of the First World War, 1917, when he escaped in Russia. They met up and they formed a commune, a sort of like proto hippie commune, and they lived by deception and helping people and whatever. They're just raising money on ad hoc basis, and he taught people, and this was part of those teachings which he wrote down. They split up a few years later, but you've got a lot of people following Uspensky on his own right. Anyway, so this is chapter 9. I'd read two bits of it because it's it gets a bit more complicated further on. So we start with, in the first octave, the absolute will include two notes, one do, and my typical, isn't it? the wonderful laptop I'm using is not working. So I'm going to start the little thing again without panicking and try and get it working. Never use open source software. We have problems.
I think you were sort of half hoping things might go wrong, weren't you? It might be a sort of wish fulfillment. You kind of actually,
you know, it could be Gurdjieff trying to say, "Listen, what the hell are you doing?" The other thing is, don't use open source software because it just doesn't work. Just want to try something else. If this works, then we'll listen to that.
Is that a picture of him?
I'm going to reboot.
Okay, well, we'll let James try and get Gurdjieff out of his laptop. And this music we're listening to is by Carlo Gesualdo, 1560 to 1613. Prince of Venosa, was an extraordinary man and musician, a composer of the First Order, but he gathered no following after his lifetime and founded no school of musical thought during it. In his private life, he was a gentleman of noble birth and so married a lady of his own social standing in 1586. In 1590, he had his unhappy wife and her paramour murdered with impunity, and in 1593 married a lady to whom he was in turn unfaithful, but to whom he remained married. To us today, Gesualdo stands ahead of his time in the technique of musical composition, and apart from the contemporary effort in the directness of presentation, where others were mannered and stylish, he was influenced by the voice, the word, and their equivalents in terms of music.
Thank you.
back to Professor James Trigaskis and his trusty laptop.
Dear. Last time I used Zine Ad Sub FX open source synthesizer on Ubuntu, which I suppose is a bit unreliable on a Mac.
Right.
Anyway, I've got a couple of things I brought in as well that we could maybe play. And the first thing is a little chat that when Gurdjieff ended his life in around 1947, he was in New York and he was chatting with his friends about cars. He had a very bad car accident in 1926. He nearly killed himself. A complete lunatic sort of driver. He sort of hang out the window and wave at people. And he's talking about cars. It's a very quiet track. If we can hear that, so this goes on for about 6 minutes, so we can fade it out when you want. You mean
in accident?
You hear his voice.
You mean died in accident?
No, accident, say that's not was mountain. I have a very difficult route.
You mean the car no longer had any breath?
When I reached the hotel, exact hotel, before hotel, he last, there near.
Gave its last breath.
He, true, in truth, nearly such. Uh-huh. One of the other, you know that?
I know.
He still died.
Let's just die.
When I stop, and I say, come and not tell.
Just like a horse, what? Sat down.
And from hotel, motor car, special take with another motor car.
Yeah.
From hotel. Get ice, weak mountain, come to the hotel.
not give this till a hotel comes.
Yes.
He die honorable death.
Even
not carried like dog.
Even I kiss. Love, truth, I kiss.
Kiss goodbye.
Where is water?
Radiator.
When I
radiator.
I kiss going. And then somebody take this from this, a garage is complete, because already not work. They bleak motor car.
So now back. You started completely fresh, no motor car at all. I think for you, Mr. Gurdjieff, in France, if you go back...
So what's going on here, James? Who's talking?
Well, he was very frequently hosting parties where he believed that you lay the table... And you have good conversation, you drink absinthe, and there's no morality here, it's just to have a good time. Now, it sounds a little bit bourgeois, but there was, mixed in with this food, was this aim to actually be very aware of what was going on. And the whole point of Gurdjieff is to really understand and watch yourself and watch everybody around you, watch what's really going on. And be aware of your context and how you are with other people and how you interact. And you wake each other up in this conversation. The idea is to nudge each other gently with little shocks. They call them shocks. They're not unpleasant shocks, just little observations in the conversation. He's a very old man at this point. He's 82 nearly, I think. And no one really knew how old he was. Some people say he was born in 1866. Or 1877. No one's sure.
But is this in Paris? This song?
This was in New York.
Oh, New York.
And he used to have a harmonium and
macaroni.
What?
Macaroni.
Sometimes macaroni or not macaroni. They eat macaroni, but they. Sometimes the result of all macaroni, they make something. But I, like me person, used it. But not they use. What's my matacatrophe was?
You know,
ideal. Ideal to ideal.
Fiat, you know, manufactured in France.
No, about the Jesus Italian.
Huh?
Re Italian manufacturer.
Really?
It's Italian. And I, exact voyage, mountain. I like mountain business. Not one motor car, is some place when they say turn mountain. But always you must go back after.
Oh, Fiat is excellent for mountains.
But Fiat, never nothing.
Oh, very good.
Not one motor car can do what Fiat makes. On mountain.
Specially built for mountains.
So we'll take it. We'll take. Let's take ourselves over to him playing the harmonium, and his friend or his follower, De Hartman, Thomas De Hartman, took the harmonium melodies and put them to piano. But this is Gurdjieff playing the harmonium sometime towards the end of his life. So, another follower of Gurdjieff was Madame de Saltzman, and she well, they both hid out in Paris during the war, and they managed to carry on in spite of the Nazi occupation. They didn't get involved with all the vagaries of wars and things like that, but de Saltzman, she was very interested in movement and dance, and so was Gurdjieff, in that not only music but in movement, and from based on his early days, probably watching Sufi dancing and things like that. And de Saltzman actually, she choreographed a lot of very wonderful and sort of hypnotic looking ballets, sort of almost robotic movements. And there's some interesting film on that. I think you can actually see some of it on YouTube if you look for it, and you can get hold of it, and it does get shown from time to time. On his birthday, we all attended the Swiss Cottage Odeon, and was filled with all the Gurdjieff followers in the UK, the whole of the Odeon Swiss Cottage. We were all watching this de Saltzman film of the dance. But it's meant to... I haven't done much
how
of
many,
it.
How many followers are there in the UK, do you think?
I'm really not sure.
Or is it sort of like a little clique?
Several hundred. Yeah. I think there's a big centre in Holland Park, and there's a place out in Buckinghamshire.
And what do you do when you meet?
Well, there's small groups, and you meet up once a week, if that's sort of normal, I don't know. But we try and just chat, really, and talk honestly about what we're doing, and we work on ourselves, and we try and get to understand oneself better and to progress a bit. It's no more than that. It's not a religious thing. So, but one of the nice things I came across was one of Thomas De Hartman, who transcribed his music, and he plays one of Gurdjieff's compositions. Can we play that?
Sure.
I'm not sure if it's going to play out enough.
Yeah. Well, we can just talk over the top of it if it's unless it's going to disturb something.
It's called Melody Grec. I'm not sure if it's inspired by Greek things, because his dad was Greek. Anyway, we'll just have a listen to that.
Thank you.
Well, you've been listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM with this week's guest, James Dragaskis, who perhaps will come back another day with to talk about hydrogen and play the keyboard on a different laptop. What do you think, James?
If you can stand it, I'd love to. Or maybe we'll think of something else, but
well,
it's been fun, thank you.
I wanted to hear about hydrogen. I was fascinated. I was looking forward
and
to
I've
that.
I've been nagging to talk to you about hydrogen for so many months.
Yeah, well, you'll have to come on again, okay. and this time we'll just get down to the hydrogen.
Okay. And Doremi.
Yeah.
Hey, I know you know.